Yo, what's up? It's your boy E.T., pastor of A Place of Change Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. You know, so many people have said to me, E, we love the normal service, but the podcast, we can wash dishes, wash clothes, work out to it, drive up and down the road, our commute to work. And so, guys, thank you so much. Look, you know, we have one goal here, and that is to meet your spiritual needs. And so we hope that this message helps you in your everyday walk, helps you in your transformation. And most importantly, we hope that it helps you to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
And so I told y'all, God told me that my job this year was to make sure you had a what? Good. That's right. A what? Come on. Come on. Say it out loud. You said it. A happy what? And not just a what? Okay. Come on. I take God's work serious. That's my assignment for the year. So we're going to say it together again. God told me my assignment was to make sure you had a what? Happy New Year. How many of y'all want a happy new year? Come on. You want a happy new year. And not just a what? Just not another year. Praise God. We've been praying about it. And so God told me is to let the people know you got to lay it down. Right? The problem is that it's not that you're not running. You're running, but you're running with weight. Praise God. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. I told y'all. We got to get out of this habit of coming to church just because that's what we're supposed to do. No, we serve a God that can do exceedingly abundantly beyond. And so if you're looking at your life and you don't see exceedingly abundantly beyond, somebody doing something wrong, and it's probably not God. I'm just being real. I'm not trying to be deep. It's probably not God. And so we got to ask ourselves, what's the strategy? What do we need to do? Remember, he's a strategy God. Oftentimes he would say, okay, I want you to go, you know, to the Jordan. I want you to dip seven times. That was a strategy. That was a strategy, right? That's what he told him to do. And when he said, well, what you do is when you go down the first time, don't be looking at yourself, because ain't nothing going to happen on the first time. I told you seven for a reason. So when you get to six, don't be looking for nothing, because you're going to get discouraged. I'm talking to somebody. That's what's wrong with your life. Instead of you dipping seven times, you dipping and looking. And when you dip and look and you don't see, you keep saying you behind. I'm behind. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You're not going to be where you're supposed to be until the seventh one. Don't that happen on the first or second? And God could have done it without you dipping, but he's trying to get you to follow instructions. It's a strategy. When I tell you to dip seven times, on the seventh time, that's when you should be looking. Oh, y'all missed what I just said. I'm telling you that the devil is discouraging you in the middle of the strategy. You quit in the middle of the strategy because you don't see what you think you should see. And so what God is trying to get you to do, here's the strategy. In 2026, he said, I want you to keep running, but I need you to stop running with weights. Now you can run about a mile or two probably with some weights on. You're not about to do a marathon with a bunch of weights on. No, you better hear what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm trying to tell you 2026 is a marathon. And God is telling you that the strategy is to lay it down. Y'all got to hear me before I keep going. Like, I'm not going to go to another slide if you're not hearing what I'm saying. You are a lay it down away from going to the next level. You are a lay it down, but you're trying to take it all with you. He's saying that the strategy is you're going to go to a whole other level if you would just stop picking stuff up. Lay it down. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so I did. I was stressed out, y'all, this week, because I'm like, God, I am not trying to come in here and preach and people walk out of here with the same challenge they had. I might as well quit. I'm just being real. If I'm preaching the gospel, ain't nothing changed. I might as well stop. I didn't grow up in the church, so I don't do this because I got to do this. I told you I didn't grow up praying. We weren't praying in my house. No disrespect. My mom, she ain't here. She probably watching, but we didn't pray in my house. We wasn't reading nobody's Bible. So when I gave my life to Christ, I didn't do it to be playing games. I'm not against traditions, but that ain't my thing. I want you to have the anointing. If you got to pick between traditions and the anointing, I'd rather for you to have the anointing. Why? You see my life. The anointing makes a difference. It is the anointing that destroys yokes. Ain't no suit destroying no yoke. You ain't about to scare the devil because you got makeup on. You ain't about to make no demons flee because you got on jewelry. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm saying you have to understand it's the anointing that you should be after. And the anointing comes as you lay stuff down. So I was in prayer. I was like, God, why do some believers take hold of the promises? Why is not everybody in the church? I thought everybody in the church was going to take hold of it. And I asked God, why? you got while some are prayerful and they just as faithful and they just as disciplined, Lord, but they remain stuck on the breakthrough. They never seem to get the breakthrough. So I said, God, we all us praying, all of us fasting, all of us serving, all of us are believing, but yet some of us experience growth, momentum, and fulfilled promises while others are just. Okay, so I need you to do me a favor before I'm about to teach now. I'm about to give you the strategy. Here's what I need you to do for me though. I need you to own the pain. We're going to own the pain before we go to the strategy. You got to own it. I'm just being real. That's why we're not growing, because you're not owning it. Like, for some reason, when we mess up, we think that we got to prove to people that we okay. You're not okay. And it's okay that you're not okay. That's why we need a savior. Everybody be like, oh, you're so transparent when you preach. I'm not transparent. I don't care about you because I care about him. So if I already got it right with him, I don't got to worry about what you think about me. Are you listening to what I'm trying to tell you? So most of us are not growing because you're trying to keep proving that you weren't born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's what you're trying to prove. You're trying to prove you weren't born in sin. You're trying to act like the Bible ain't real. He said, can an Ethiopian change it? And can a leper change it? He said, you can't do it. Paul said, I'm talking about Paul. Paul knew, he wrote the whole New Testament. Paul said, the good that I would, I don't do it. And the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. Here go the part that I love. He says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So I need you to own it first. I need you to own it. Before I get, I don't want to give you the strategy if you're still trying to pretend like you're okay. You're not. You took some serious loss last year. You're not. You took some serious loss a year ago. You were sick. The doctors open you up. You are not okay. You got a divorce. You are not okay. Your kids are off the charts. You are not okay. You have plans and goals for your babies and they ain't following. You are not okay. You are mentally, emotionally going through it. You are not okay. And it's okay that you're not. We're about to show you how we can get there. So I need you to own it. You bankrupt. Own that. You ain't got to walk around here and act like you got money when you don't so you can impress a group of people. No. Your company went under last year. That hurt you. You had plans for your company. Coach, you talked about it last week. Your wife was up here crying. He lost his job. I said, we got something there. But she's saying that we had this stability and we don't have. It's okay to be real. Most of you will never be healed because you don't need a savior. You missed what I just said. Most of you will never be saved because you're trying to come to God like you already got it going on, like you already fixed. So there's no need for God. It was the church that couldn't get healed by Jesus. It was the church. It wasn't the world. It was the church that God says, I've been around y'all. And you go, well, we know your mama Mary. Come on now. Y'all focus on the wrong thing. We know your daddy, which ain't even really your daddy. Some kind of way you done had him with the wild happening. Okay. We know Mary. We went to school with Mary. She what? She had the Savior. Get out of here with that. It was the non-believers that got healed. It was the people that didn't grow up in church that got it. You better get it. You need a savior. So before we go, own it. Own it. Stop trying to act like you're going to have a new year if you ain't new. No, I'm just being real. Stop acting like you're going to have a new year if you keep doing what you've always done. You're not going to have a new year. You're going to have another year. And God is saying, I want you to have a happy new year. Amen? Praise God. I don't know about you, but I don't want no more drama. Praise God. Am I talking to anybody? I don't even be arguing with my girl no more. I'm like, I didn't even know that was possible. I'm just being real. I didn't even know it was possible not to be arguing. I grew up around it. Okay. All right. I'm talking to myself. I'm like, whoa, God, that's a miracle. We could not see eye to eye and then speak to you. What? I didn't even know you could do that. And I'm being real. I ain't never cussed my girl. I ain't never call her out her name. But I'm telling you, I like the debate. I like the debate. I didn't even know what's something wrong with it. I grew up in Detroit. Everybody was doing it. The more you could debate, the sweeter you were. I'm looking at her like, what's wrong with you? You don't debate. She's like, oh, it's just me and my mom. We never had an argument. I said, what world you come from? What? Y'all didn't do what? This is how we get down. You know what I'm saying? This is a part of our fabric. And God would say, no, no, it doesn't have to be. Oh, y'all miss what I said. Y'all miss what I just said. God said, when you come into my world, you can let some of that stuff go. You don't, okay, all right, let's go here. All right, here's the strategy. Anybody ready? Here's the strategy. Anybody ready for the strategy? Here's the strategy, y'all. Right? And I'm trying to tell you, the word is the strategy. You better get off that horoscope. I know a friend of mine, she loved the Lord. Then one day she told me something about a horoscope. I said, whoa, what just happened? The last 6 months, we've been talking about a horoscope, but what in the world? I'm not mad at horoscopes. I'm not mad at them. But I'm saying when you got Jesus, you don't need nothing else. When you got God, you don't need to add nothing to God. Okay, am I talking to myself? Okay, maybe y'all ain't got that grandma. I had that grandma that can cook. When my grandma cooked, you ain't had to add. You didn't have, somebody said, you don't need hot sauce when grandma cooked. You don't need salt and pepper. When grandma cooked, she got it all. It's all there. When God is doing his thing, you don't need to add nothing to what God is doing. That's why your life is messed up. You're adding things God didn't tell you to add. God says, I got it. Relax. So here go the strategy, y'all. Y'all, 2026, take this with you, you're going to be good. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, man, I wish I could preach that. Let us throw off everything that hinders. That's it. 2026 about to be fire. You can just catch that right there. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's why you gotta stop comparing yourself to other people. That race wasn't marked out for you. That's why you lose it, because you comparing yourself to somebody else's race when God gave you your race. God knows, y'all missed what I just said. God knows what you need for your race, and you keep failing because you keep looking at everybody else's race. That's not your race. Run the race that God has for you. Somebody gonna tell me you too passionate. Disrespect when somebody came with the belt. You too passionate. Too loud. I said, passion? What? You too what? I said, no. When I go to these schools and speak, it ain't what you think. If I go in here and I ain't passionate enough, somebody gonna get killed. Somebody going to jail. This ain't passion, it's purpose. Like where I come from, you go into the school and you don't say the right thing, somebody going to jail. Somebody going to sell drugs. Somebody going to get in the gang. Somebody going to get killed. This ain't passion. It's purpose. No. I'm preaching. Somebody on the brink of divorce when they come to church. If I don't say the right thing, they might, are you not hearing what I'm saying? This ain't passion. This purpose. I got a race. I'm running my race. Do me a favor. You spending so much time trying to critique my race. Go run yours. Don't worry about my race. You don't understand my race. You couldn't understand my race. You don't come from where I come from. You hadn't seen what I've seen. All right, so watch this, y'all. This thing is so deep. Watch what it says. Fix your eyes. You see how God, I just want to show you how good God is. He says, watch this. He says, throw off everything that hinders you. And then he said, because he knew who we were, fix your eyes. 2026 is going to be the bomb. If you can stop taking your eyes and putting on everybody else. I am amazed at how people know why somebody ain't got a man or somebody ain't got a woman or somebody ain't got a job when you ain't got one, but you know why they ain't got one, but you don't know why you ain't got one. I'm amazed at how humans talk about other humans as if they got all their stuff together. You don't need to be worried about nobody else. You need, God said he knew how we were. So Hebrews 12:2, the first thing he said was, fix your eyes on Jesus. You got your eyes everywhere. You got your eyes on your homeboy. You got your eyes on your homegirl. All right. Let me just be real with y'all. If I'm in a relationship and I got to be going through their phone and fixing my eye, we already got problems. If I got to follow you where you going, we got bigger problems. We got bigger problems. If I got to run behind you and look at all the stuff, you look at the credit card and see what you're spending, we got bigger problems. If you marry, you got a wife and temptation is real, then what are you doing? I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. 2026, I want to help you. I woke up this morning like, okay, I hope my daughter's in San Diego, my son. God said, what are you doing? I said, well, I just want to make sure. And I was about to pick up the phone and call my daughter. He said, put the phone down. Just pray. Fix your eyes on me. Don't call your daughter. You don't need to call her and tell her what's on your mind. You can tell me what's on your mind. Because if you tell her what's on your mind, you might stress her out. If you tell her what you think you see in the future, you might stress her out. You tell me I could do something about it. You tell me, son, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm beginning and end, son. I'm omnipresent. I'm with her while I'm with you. I don't even know why you worried. Look what I did for you. You shouldn't be worried about nobody's salvation. You shouldn't be worried about nobody's life working out. You remember where I found you at? And what I did for you? And you think I can't do it for your daughter or your son? Everybody say, fix your eyes. I'm old school. This is before gentle parenting. They used to say stuff like, fix your... I'm sorry, it's old school stuff. This ain't young folk. You know what I'm saying? This generation. This old school. Like, you could be washing dishes and they would tell you, I'm washing dishes. And they would say, fix your attitude. I'm like, I'm washing the dishes. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how you washing the dishes. Now you're worried about how I'm washing them. Ain't enough that I'm washing them. No, fix your, act like you got a refrigerator. Act like you got a bedroom. Act like you got a shower. Act like you got hot water, cold water. Act like we go to work for you every day. Act like you got a house to live in. Act like you got a roof over your head. Act like you got heat and act like you got AC. Act like you got some sense. Fix your eyes on Jesus and get your eyes off everything else. You wonder why you so sick and what's going on you emotionally. What's going on is you got your eyes everywhere but where they supposed to be. Oh, am I talking to anybody? So listen to me. I want to encourage you. You saw it. Here's a solution. Here's a strategy. Throw off everything that hinders you. Now I'm going to stop there. Why? Because you say, well, pastor, it's some more stuff. It's not some more stuff. 50% of it has already been taken care of. The salvation part, he already did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The sin part God already took care of. The problem, here go the problem. The problem is the growth part. The growth demands release. It's the growth part. God did the saving part. You ain't got to worry about your sins. He got that. We having a problem because you're trying to focus on your sin. You can't focus on your sin. That's not your business. God took care of your sin. What he cannot do is make you release stuff. That's the part he can't do. He already did the saving stuff. He got you. You taking care. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. You got that. That's a part of the package. Well, pastor, how do you know that? Because he said it. This is what he said. He said in John 15:2, Pastor Tyus preached this one. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So the next level ain't about the evil you're doing. The next level is about letting go the good you're currently doing. That's why you can't grow, because you only think that you got to let bad stuff go. You got to let out of season stuff grow. I promise y'all, on life right now, on life, when we got out of here, on life, if I had my way, I'd be eating some watermelon. My wife will tell you, when it's watermelon season, she can't stand it. It'd be juice all on the floor. You can see where I step, juice everywhere. You can see seeds all over the place. When it's watermelon season, it's going down. I just give me a watermelon chill. That boy, I don't need nothing else. I cut it, I'd be gone. Now I'm waking up in February, and even though I love watermelon, it's out of season. Your problem ain't your sin. Your problem is good seasons. You can't let them go. I'm going to read it one more time just in case y'all missed it. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. What is he taking away? It's all good. He's taking some of the good that's not appropriate for this season. That's why we rested and we reset. But why are we resetting? See, things seem like they're good. They always seem like they're going good. And if they're going good, he got to prune. for my ladies, it's called the ends, the dead end. I know it's long, but they still got it. I know they still got it. When you go get your hair, they still got it. Why? Because it's gonna stop right there. Oh, it's gonna stop right there if you don't cut the. It's gonna stop, and God is saying, I don't want it to stop. Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything. God, you stopping me because you stopped at good. I was trying to get to great. You got to great, and you stopped. I was trying to get to phenomenal. Y'all missed that song. Y'all missed that. Do you know our sister has been singing over 30 years? Y'all missed what I just said. That's exceedingly abundantly. There's some folks that came out, they had about a 3-year span. You ain't heard nothing from them since. There's some folks that had a 5-year run. They can't get a job. Oh, you missed. Did y'all hear me? God ain't thinking about that 1 year that you had success. God's trying to, he's trying to 30 year you out, 40 year you out. I won't miss what I'm saying. You got a little 3-year plan. God got a 30 year plan. God got a 40 year plan for you. And you focusing on paying your rent in 1998. God says exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything you could think of as. I just want to tell y'all this real quick. Get to pruning ain't punishment. Is proof you producing. Some of y'all, oh, you taking that from me? You taking that? You taking that? God said, I ain't taking nothing. I'm protecting. I don't punish. I don't need to punish. I'm God. Okay, one more time. Pruning is not punishment. It's actually proof that you're producing. But can I tell you this? The version of you that you are right now cannot sustain where you're going. It can't sustain where you're going, and you just want to hold on to it. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. Hallelujah. I want to show you. God said, 2026, here's what I want you to do, Eric. 2027, 28, 29, 30. God said, I only want you to do 3 things. What's the 3 things? The conference, which we're doing in April. God said, for the next 5 years, all I want you to do is the conference. Number 2, God said, I just want you to focus on the book that's coming out this year. That's it. And the last thing is the supplement y'all coming out with. Y'all know how hard it was been for me to just do 3 things. Now, I got to show y'all something because it's going to blow your mind. Let's go back. It's going to blow your mind. Number 1, the 1% conference, we got over 100 people helping us with that. Listen to me. God said, I need you to do 1 thing, but I need you to do it with 100 people. I want to show you. God is saying you need to simplify your life, son. Number 2, the book. We probably got about 13 or 15 people all working on this book together. And then the supplement, we probably got about 10 or 13 people helping us with the supplement. God is saying, Eric, your life was messed up because you was doing too much. Okay, all right, here we go. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Come on, before we get out of here, you got to catch this. We messed up. And God is saying, you messed up and you only doing it because you like doing it, but it's messing you up. I'm trying to actually get you to what you say you want, and I'm trying to get you the freedom that you need to have. And so stand firm then. When you overcome shame and control and fear, God said, do me a favor, stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't keep going back to that stuff. It's killing you. All right, listen to me. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. That's the Bible. One more time. You got the right to do anything you want, but the Bible says, but not everything is beneficial. God is trying to get you to only do beneficial stuff in 2026. Okay, here it is. Here go the problem. Is this sinful or is it just too heavy? No. Some of y'all, you're getting confused. Like, this ain't sinful. It's not, but it's heavy. You know it ain't right. You know you have the ability to do it, but it's heavy. Watch this. Some things aren't wrong. They just off course. Come on, we about to end. I need you to catch this. 2026 about to be phenomenal. You about to stop doing any and everything. Some things aren't wrong. They just off course. It's not for this season. You got to let it go. If some of you could get this right here, all right, that was hard for you. Any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. Who is my mother and who is my father? God is saying y'all carrying stuff. You're not. Okay, so watch this part, because some of y'all got that confused. Not some things, not bad things. Everything is on the table with God. Whatever he want to take, your spouse is on the table. Your kids is on the table. Your money is on the table. Your status is on the table. Your house, everything is on the table with God. And if you can't let it go, it's showing you that that thing is your God. I'm going to say that and say it slower. If you can't give it to God, it means it's a God. And he said, have no other gods before me. I can't breathe. I can't live without it. Well, then that's your God. And then let that God supply all your needs. Watch this, y'all. God doesn't strip you to punish you. He lightens you so you can finish the climb. Come on, somebody. That was a praise break right there. That was a praise break. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're telling us in this season, it's not about right or wrong. In this season, it's about, is it appropriate? Is it effective? Is it necessary? Did God call me to do it? I can do any and everything, but is it beneficial? Is it advantageous? Is it going to uplift the kingdom? Is it just busy work? And so we're letting it go, Lord. Not sin. You took care of the sin. We're letting go of the need to be in control. We're letting the fear go, Lord. We're letting it go. We're letting it go, Father. We're letting the shame go. We're letting the unforgiveness go, Lord. We're letting it all go. We're letting overextend ourselves go. Lord, we will have no other gods before you. We're letting it go. We're letting it go. And instead, what am I going to do if I'm not spend time with me? What am I going to do if I get in your word? What am I going to do if I pray? What am I going to do fast? What am I going to do? Get closer to you, Father. What am I going to do without them? I am the Lord thy God. What am I going to do without her? Survive. What am I going to do without my status? What am I going to do without my money? And so, Lord, we realize everything is on the table and we're willing to give it all up because we have no other God but you. You are the most important thing to us, Lord. Without you, we are nothing, Lord. Without you, we do not exist. And so, Father, help us, Lord. I praise you. I worship you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. And I just ask, Lord, that we would let go and let God forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings and bless us in Jesus' name. Let the believers say amen, amen, amen. Go back in peace. Go back strong. Go back ready. Go back knowing that God's got something bigger for you. Lay it down. In the name of Jesus, lay it down.
Family, before you head out, take a moment and lock in your next steps. First, grab the app. Open your app store, search APOC Ministry, download and open it. Tap connect and drop your name and best contact. New here? You can also type new in the chat. We want to follow up this week. If you need God to move in something specific, don't carry it alone. In the app, tap prayer. Submit requests and our team will be praying with and for you. And if today stirred you to make a difference, partner with us as we reach up and reach back. Visit apopministry.org or tap giving in the app, one time or recurring. Your generosity fuels our mission to love, grow, and serve. Before you log off, share this with three people, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so you don't miss what's next. Join us right here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Saturdays at 11. Until then, we love you. Be blessed.